So I am a nerd and I find any way to fit Avengers into a message. Many of you know this already. So let's just get that out of the way right now. I picked this video because I think it's a good example to us. Those of you who know this character, his name's the Hulk, okay? Yeah, I know, not a normal name. But the guy's name that you see in the beginning who has this issue, his real name is Bruce Banner, and he has this problem that we just witnessed in the video. Basically, his problem is this. When somebody tries to hurt him, makes him angry, pokes at him, frustrates him, the list goes on and on. He has a problem that most of us can probably identify with. He transforms into a massive green rage monster, okay? So transforms and creates a whole lot of destruction as we just saw in this video. This is a good example of that happening. And I show this video this morning because I think we have a similar issue. Not that most of us are transforming into giant green rage monsters, although some of you may be like, that's my problem. It's a whole different conversation another Sunday. Okay, we'll talk about that later. But most of us do not have this issue of changing into a giant green rage monster. But when we are confronted with someone who is out to hurt us, someone who's trying to tear us down, the trolls that are trolling us, the people who are trying to get us angry, the people who frustrate us, the statuses we disagree with that just get to our core, when we're presented with all these different types of things, we have the danger of transforming into something else. And it's the thing we've been talking about over these last 2 weeks. See, when we're presented with all these things, we have the danger of transforming into trolls ourselves. So over the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about trolls, right? And so Glenn laid out what troll culture is, laid out a whole bunch of different trolls that probably all of us have experienced at some point in our lives. My favorite is the one emoji troll. I get that all the time. Like the thumb drives me crazy. Okay, but a lot of different trolls, okay, that we get in life. And then Glenn talked last week about not feeding our trolls because it just makes the situation worse. But I want to talk about this morning something that we don't often like to talk about when we talk about dealing with difficult people. And that's that we can be difficult people. It's that we can also be trolls. That it is very easy for us to transform into a troll ourselves. And so this morning I want to talk about why that's the case. Why do we end up doing this ourselves? And how do we combat this part of ourselves? How do we combat this issue in our lives? I think often when we talk about the concept of dealing with difficult people, we talk about it in such a way that makes it seem like that we would never lower ourselves to their level, ever. Like, how could these people ever do these things? I would never be like them. But that is a lie we tell ourselves. Because the reality is we're not that far off from being like them as we'd like to think. See, anyone can be a troll. Anybody, absolutely anybody could be a troll. You could be a regular person and then transform into a troll, okay? It happens, okay? It just works every service, man. That's just great. So aside from putting that in there because Glenn doesn't know about it and I'm probably gonna be in trouble on Monday, the reality of it is that we can. We wanted to display this morning that anybody can. Even a youth pastor preaching from a stage can be trolling his lead pastor, okay? That is a reality. See, we all have troll potential. We all have troll potential. We have the potential to hurt other people, to tear other people down, to create conflict, to be divisive. All of us sitting in this room this morning have that potential. We are not invulnerable to being that way. We are not invulnerable to being trolls ourselves. We are completely capable of doing it. And there are times when we cross the line into being one. So why is this the case? Why do we have this potential? Well, I think to understand that, there's two reasons, I think, that we have this potential. And to understand that, we need to go to Romans chapter 3, specifically verses 9 to 12. But before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about Romans and the context we're walking into. So in the beginning of Romans, Paul is writing a lot. He's trying to create this argument. And this argument is essentially this, that everybody has sin and everybody deserves punishment for their sin. That Paul is making this argument in the beginning of Romans leading up to something, a hope that we need to hear. But to get there, he needs to convince all of us that we have a problem. And as he moves into it, the last chapter, or the last section of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3, Paul moves his argument to very specific people. The Jewish people. His people. The people at the time that are known for being self-righteous. Because Paul knows that they're going to read this and think, yeah, Paul, those other people, they're horrible, but we're good. And Paul's trying to say, no. And so the beginning of chapter 3, he explains why God is just for coming and punishing those who are unfaithful, even the Jewish people. And he starts to explain this. And as he's moving through chapter 3, we get to verse 9. And he brings up a question because he knows still there are going to be some people who read this and think, yes, Paul, the unfaithful, they are horrible. I'm with you. Let's go get them. God, take them down. But they're not going to include themselves in that part of the story. And so Paul asks this question, starting at verse 9, it says this: what shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? Not at all, for we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under the power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. So we're trying to uplift you this morning, so I figured this would be a good passage to do that, right? But this is important for us to hear, right? Because we come to these passages with the exact same problem that Paul's trying to fight against. I think too often we read this and we keep ourselves out of the situation. But Paul's trying to say, no, listen. We all have a deep-rooted sin problem. We all have a deep-rooted sin problem that goes beyond just being a nice guy and a bad guy. We have something rooted deep within us that is a problem. It's a disease, and it's called sin. And it makes us susceptible to doing things that can hurt other people, susceptible to doing selfish things. You know, when I was a kid, I had a lot of different pets. Some fish. And there was a specific fish I got a couple years back. I was out of high school for a little bit, and I actually didn't remember how I got it. Sam had to remind me, which is probably bad because it was a Valentine's Day gift. But Sam, we were giving Valentine's Day gifts, and Sam got me this fish. It was a blue betta fish. Okay? I don't know why. I still don't remember why. That's probably, this is bad. I'm going to be in trouble later. But this blue betta fish. And so she got me this for Valentine's Day, and I don't know if any of you guys have ever had these betta fish, but mine was in this like big kind of vase thing. And it had to kind of sit in there, and had little rocks and a little plant thing that was popping out that was fake. And so he swam around, and here's the problem. I was a 19-year-old guy, okay, and on my priority list was not cleaning the betta fish tank, okay? That was not something I liked to do. It didn't filtrate itself. Like, you had to dump this thing out. You had to, like, scrub it out, put the fish in a separate container. Like, that is not a 19-year-old guy thing that anybody wants to do, okay? So I had this problem with cleaning out the tank, and the poor fish was always swimming in, you know, his poop, okay? So it wasn't a great situation, okay? So my mom did some research, because I still live with my mom, and she did some research on how to take care of this problem, and she found if you got this plant and you stuck it in the container, that the roots would actually self-clean the water. It was real cool. It would make the plant grow, and the plant would feed off of the poop, and it was great. Okay, so we decided to go out and buy this plant and stick it in the top of the tank, cleaned off the roots, stuck it in. It was great. And then we just sat back and waited for the wondrous clean tank that would exist. Here's the problem. We didn't do a lot of research. And we found out, we didn't research far enough to find out that it says you really need to clean these roots off, because roots often have different kinds of bacteria in them and on them, and that can actually injure and hurt fish. Okay, so I'm just going to prepare you. I didn't prepare the first service. This is going to get depressing. Okay, so just have a heads up. Put that in your head right now. This is not a story that ends well. Okay, so the roots were not cleaned. And the bacteria apparently ended up getting through the water, and we're not quite sure what happened, but all we know is that Gregory, who was my fish's name, okay, started doing some weird stuff, bumping into the side of the tank, not swimming quite right, which is, you know, his only job. And so wasn't working quite right, and eventually Gregory got up into the roots, and I won't go into detail, but Gregory is no longer with us, okay? So Gregory ended up dying. Like I said, depressing story. But there's a reason to it. Because here's what happened. There was a disease, there was an issue with the roots, and it got all through the fish tank, and it hurt the fish tank, it hurt the fish. The fish ended up doing weird things that it would have never done. We have the same issue. Deep within our roots of ourself, there is this problem, and it's called sin. And Scripture teaches that it's not something that we can just ignore and not deal with, that it affects the way we live our lives. That there's a part of us pulling us towards sinful action, away from what God would want us to do. And that makes us susceptible to being trolls just like everyone else. We are no better than anyone else sitting here this morning. We are no better than anyone else outside of this room. All of us have the same problem they do. We have sin. And the same thing that's leading them to be a troll makes us susceptible to being the exact same thing. We have a deep rooted problem. And we need to come to terms with this. We need to realize that this is within us, because it makes us susceptible to being a troll like everyone else. It's the reason when somebody gets at you, they pick at you, they try to just make you lose your temper. Anybody ever experienced these types of people, right? Or the person that just says some kind of backhanded compliment, but really they're meaning to make you really angry. Or the guy who cuts us off on the road. Or the person who posts that Facebook status that just makes us crazy. It's the reason our first reaction is not, I want to hug you. Okay? And if you're sitting here this morning and saying that's your first reaction, stop. Okay? You don't want to hug them right away. Okay? None of us do. There's this reaction inside of us that wants to react back. We want to fight fire with fire. And that reaction comes from our deep rooted sin issue that pushes us towards disobedience to God and pushes us towards a path that is not good for us and not good for people around us. This is a reality that we all struggle with. And this is why we have potential to be trolls. Now, this leads us into the second reason we have potential to be trolls, because here's the thing. We live in a world where everybody else has this same problem. So what happens is that there's a lot of people around us giving in to those reactions. And what that means is there's a lot of pitfalls for us to fall into being a troll. There's a lot of traps for us that'll pull us into that kind of reaction, because it's all over the place. This is the reason our culture is so divisive. It's not because we can't just be nice to each other. It's because all of us have sin, and it's a deep part of our nature, a part of our lives. And that is why our world is so much like this. And because of that, we are all one step away from being a troll. One step away. You know, there was this video that went viral a while back. Some of you may have seen it. It was this video of this girl in a mall on her phone. And I'll reenact it for you. Okay, so take pictures, videos. So this girl's on the phone, right? And so she's walking, she's looking at her phone, and there just happens to be a nice, beautiful fountain right in front of her. Okay, some of you are laughing because you've seen this video and it's hysterical, okay? She walks, not even looking, because she was texting about, I don't know, the cool clothes she got. Okay, so, and she trips head first into the fountain, just like poof, like splashes. It's great. There's water all over the place. It's classic, okay? If you haven't seen the video, go watch it, okay? This video went viral. It was all over the internet. It was on news sites. They blurred her face out, so it's okay, but I still felt real bad for her. But it's a hilarious video. The thing is life is a lot like that. There's stuff in front of us that we don't even realize is there. Stuff that's easy for us to fall into. Traps that are easy for us to fall into. And because of our sinful nature, because there's a part of us that wants to fight fire with fire, we are capable of falling into those things and doing things that just make it worse and hurt people. You know, in Romans 3, as Paul's continuing, he makes this list sort of what sinful people do. And the stuff he starts talking about is stuff like the bitterness comes out of their mouths, they rip each other apart, they create destruction, they hurt people, and essentially they make ripples, they make divisiveness, they hurt other people. And again, we read this list, and when I used to read this list, I was always the kid, I grew up in church, I went to church since I was a young kid, and I was the kid who read that list, and I was like, yeah, they do. Yeah, Paul, get them, okay? Like, that's the thing running through my head, but we need to read this list and understand that Paul is talking to us. That Paul is talking to us. And what Paul is saying is you're capable of doing these things. It's not something we like to hear, but it's the truth. We are capable of sinning in that way. We are capable of hurting someone. We are capable of ripping someone apart without even realizing it. And we are capable of adding wood to the fire and making a situation worse. Some of you guys may be sitting here this morning and you're remembering a moment that you've actually done that. That you've been a part of that. And just like this girl walking in the mall, it's easy to just be going along life and then look back and realize that without even realizing it in the moment that you fell into that situation and you look back on what you just did and you're ashamed of what you said to that person. Or you're ashamed of how you've added fire to that situation. See, I think a lot of us like to think that we're a leap away from being a troll, but the reality is we're one step. We're right there. It just takes one person, one Facebook status, one moment, one thing to be said to us. It just takes one moment for us to jump into that. It takes one person posting on Facebook something that we completely disagree with, and we've been having a bad day because somebody cut me off and I didn't get my coffee this morning. It's a bad day, okay? So you're in a bad day, in a bad situation, and it just takes one moment, and we jump right into the thing that we've been talking about and trying to counter this whole time. You know, I need to be reminded of this constantly. I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded of this constantly because we're so capable of doing it and we try to think that we're not. That's why in Proverbs 26:4, Glenn read this last week, and it's this passage in 26:4 that cautions us about the way that we respond to foolish people, to foolish talk, to foolish things. And Proverbs 26:4 says this, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like them." This should hit us hard, and it should be something that we take to heart, because the reality is it's so true. It's very easy for us to become like the person we've been trying to counter. When we start to think that we don't have the same problem they do, it is so easy to be a troll. We need to realize that the person who's trolling us has the exact same problem we do. And we need to be careful because it's so easy for us to fall into those same things. You know, one person comes at us and they say a comment that just you know is meant to make you rise. And what happens? Your feelings are, I want to fight back. I want to do this. You do what Glenn's talked about where we create these stories about the situation, right? So this person made a comment and then we create the story that eventually turns them into the devil. And then we need to talk to them because they're evil, right? So we need to respond. And then we respond back and we say something and without even realizing it, we've done exactly what they were doing. Because we've given into the same sin problem that they have. We all have this potential. We all can end up being a troll. We all need help. Not just the trolls outside this room. We need help. And so how do we deal with this? How do we combat this issue? How do we combat our inner nature of being a troll? Does this mean that we just close ourselves off in a room and we don't see anybody and we never log on Facebook and we never log on Instagram and we never log on Twitter and we never log on Snapchat? Older people, look it up. We never log on any of those things, okay? And we never talk to anybody. We never look at anything anybody's doing because we could be exactly like them, right? So we avoid it, right? Or we avoid people. Like, I'll drive to work. I'll get in my office. I'll close the door and just nobody talked to me today. Anybody had moments like that? Does that mean we live our life like that? If we have this potential to be a troll, does this mean we close ourselves off, that we never interact with people? We just don't get involved. This is not the reaction God wants. See, I believe God calls us to be an instrument of change and counter this culture. But if we're ever going to do that, there's something that we need to do. There's a focus that we need to have. And if we're going to combat this inner troll, there's something we need to look to. Specifically, there's a person we need to look to. See, we combat our inner troll by focusing on how Christ saved us to something better. I'm convinced that one of the biggest things that holds us back from fighting this inner part of ourselves, this sinful part of ourselves, is that we allow this lie to convince us that we got here by ourselves and that we have power over this. Like we come to Jesus, we come into that moment of Christ, giving our lives over to Christ, and somewhere along the way, we forget how the process happened, and we convince ourselves that we have the power over the sin problem in our lives. And that is so dangerous because it convinces us that we can do this on our own, when in reality, we can't. We have no power to do this on our own. And the other side of it is it makes us hate other people more because we feel like they should be fixing themselves and working it out. And man, get your crap together, dude. Come on, pull it together. But the reality is that none of us can do this on our own. We were saved by a beautiful Messiah, a perfect man, the only perfect person to live on this world, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And so we need to refocus ourselves off of what's happening around us and onto who Jesus is and how he saved us. And we need to do this because we need to remember who has the power. We need to remember who has the power in our lives, who has the power over this sin. See, as Paul's moving through Romans 3 and he's talking to the Roman church and he's writing about all this stuff, he doesn't leave it on a depressing note, right? Because that would be real sad and we don't want that. He moves to something very hopeful and incredible that we need to hold on to. Because he basically says this, listen, we're all messed up. We all have this problem, but luckily, God loved us and has the power to deal with it. And he writes this in Romans 3, verses 21 to 28. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because he, in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it so as to be the just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. So basically Paul's saying here, guys, where is your power? Where is the power to overcome your sin? Where is the power to be freed from this trap that is sin, that pulls us into a life that is not good for us and those around us? How are we freed from this? How are we made right before God? How could we ever have any hope? And Paul says it's simple. It's through Jesus Christ. So Paul says Jesus came and he died for us when we had no hope, when we had no power, and he died to overcome the sin that we have in our lives, to free us from the punishment that is the sin that we do deserve. Jesus came and died for us. So in other words, Jesus is the one who has the power. Jesus is the one who has the power to overcome this issue in your life. Jesus is the one who has the power to pull you out of these traps of being a troll and to live differently. Jesus is the one who has the power over your sin. We need to hold on to this and focus on this through life because it changes the way we live. And I said earlier, too often I forget this. You know, I came to Christ when I was younger, and so many times over my life, I've forgotten about this idea, and somehow I convinced myself that I've gotten to where I am because of my own doing. Like, man, Josh, you know, you ever brag to yourself about what you're doing? Am I the only one who does this? Okay, if I am, wow, this is, you know, an open moment on stage. But this is, like, you know, like we have these thoughts in our head. Like, you know, if you deal with conflict well, you know, I've like had moments where I've dealt with conflict well, and afterwards I'm like, man, yeah. I really pulled that together. You know what I mean? Everybody's perspective of me is really changing. So like this is stuff that is run through our head, and I think we often do to ourselves, and we convince ourselves that we've had the power to get us here. But then all it does is it takes one moment in a situation of weakness. Maybe it's been a bad day. For me, it's that I haven't had enough coffee almost always, okay? But whatever it is, it takes one moment, one person, who just says something to us that just gets under our skin, One person who pushes us in the wrong direction. Even one person who's completely well-meaning, but they ruin the way our day was going. And there's been so many times when that has happened and I say something just stupid. Or I do something dumb and I just look at what has happened afterwards and I see what has happened afterwards and the way that I hurt a person. You know, I wish I could say that I've never done that since I've come to LifePoint. And that would be a horrible lie because just like you, I am a sinner. And I've had moments in the 3 years I've been here that I look back and I see the way that I've messed up and the way I didn't handle a situation correctly. And it's in those moments that I'm reminded of my absolute powerlessness against my sin. That this issue is too big for me. But it's also in those moments that I have been reminded that God has used to humble me and remind me, but Josh, that's why I died for you. That's why I love you. That's why I've given you my power. Because you may be too weak for this, but I am not. I am far stronger than this issue that you've got in your life. See, we need to know who has the power. We need to focus on how Jesus has saved us. We need to never forget that. Because Jesus is our power over all this, not ourselves. And we need to be in a place where we remember how much we need Christ. Because if we ever think that we're strong on our own, that is when we're weakest. God says, when we are weak, I am strong. We need to be in a place of weakness and understanding that we are powerless and we need Jesus. And it is when we're in that place that we have the power to overcome this problem. See, because Jesus gives us what we need to live differently. Jesus gives us what we need to live differently. If you fast forward in Romans and you go to Romans chapter 5, there's this part where Paul starts to talk about what happens in our lives when we come to Jesus Christ. And he says this, you see, just at the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? So what Paul is saying here is, listen, there is incredible hope in Jesus, not just because he takes what we deserved, but because he asks us and brings us into something that gives us power over these problems. So what Paul is saying is that Jesus died not just to save us, but to open the door to a relationship with the one true God who made us. See, Jesus opens the door to a relationship that will change our lives forever, the presence of God. So Paul's trying to get him to realize that Jesus has opened this door for you so that you can come to God and you have a relationship. And that last line, it's powerful. He says, shall we be saved through his life? In other words, the life of God with us, the presence of God with us changes us forever. See, to deal with this issue, it's not enough just to control the things we do on the outside. Because Jesus teaches us that what we think on the inside matters too. That affects us. It affects the way we react to people. It affects the things that we do. And so it's not just enough to deal with those outward problems. We need to deal with the inside first. We need to rip up the roots of sin that live in our lives and replace it with a power that is much greater than our power. And that's how we do it, through Jesus. That Jesus comes and he died and he opens a relationship to us with God, and therefore that sin problem, that stuff, is overpowered by the power of God. And that doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we never make mistakes. It doesn't mean we don't think horrible things at times, because if that's the case, we're in trouble. Okay, so that's not what this means, but it does mean that you have access to the God of the universe, and the presence with that God will change your heart forever. And God continually reforms us and changes us to a point that when that troll responds to us, our reaction really is love. Maybe not the first second. We're still sinners. We're working through that, okay? But maybe the second second. He changes us. He reforms us. See, we need the presence of God to change us. And the way that we do that is through Jesus. Jesus gives us access to that. Jesus opens the doors for that. There is hope. The song earlier talks about that God makes beautiful things. If you are in Jesus, he's making a beautiful thing. And you are not powerless to this anymore. God can help you through this. And that's why we need to focus on our relationship with God and stop focusing on everything else going on around us. Because as we focus more on God, as we refocus on Christ, as we focus on following him, as we focus on relying on his power in our lives, when we focus on all of this, Christ and God, he starts to change us in a way that is incredible and turns us into an instrument of change. You know, I couldn't help but write this and think about this scene in The Grinch. We've showed it here before at LifePoint during our Netflix-mas series. I can't talk this morning. Where there's a scene with the Grinch that a lot of people know. It's a scene where the Grinch's heart grows 3 times its size. Anybody seen this? Okay. Those of you who have not seen The Grinch, come on. Okay. So go watch The Grinch after this service. Okay. But there's a scene in The Grinch where his heart grows 3 times its size. And the Grinch has changed. It's the moment in the movie that the Grinch really changes. See, there's a part earlier in the movie where the Grinch tries to change, like he tries to be different. I don't know if this is in the cartoon version. It's in the Jim Carrey version. But there's this moment where he tries to change and he's trying to be nicer and then he ends up like destroying everything in the town, okay? That's because the inside hadn't changed. He was just trying to mask his nature. He was trying to mask what he had going on inside of him. But at this moment in the movie, he really changes. And what changed him is his relationship with this little girl, Cindy Lou. She changed him from the inside out, and he was able to live differently. See, Christ is with us. And just like little Cindy Lou, that's right, I'm comparing Christ to Cindy Lou. Just like little Cindy Lou, Christ wants to have a relationship with us, and that relationship with us changes us from the inside out. His power rips up those roots that are diseasing us and causing us to do sinful things, and he changes our heart from the inside out. So if we really want to be instrument of change today, if we really want to counter this troll culture, we need to focus on our relationship with God so we can overcome our inner troll. Once we have overcome our inner troll through Christ, and we'll be doing it every day until we die. But once we've started this process and God is changing us, that's when God starts to use us as an instrument for change to help other people overcome their inner troll. Because the solution is not silencing the trolls, it's changing the trolls. It's bringing them into the presence of God the same way we have. So I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know where your heart's at this morning. Some of you guys may have walked in here and you didn't need to hear the whole we have troll potential because you just did something to somebody on the road and you know I've got troll potential, okay? Some of you guys may have walked in with that mindset. Some of you guys may have walked in and you're like me. We often forget that we have this potential and we need to be reminded. But wherever you are, whatever you're thinking right now, remember that inner troll inside of you does not have power over Jesus. Jesus has power over it. So turn to God. Focus on your relationship with God. Stop worrying about what's happening around us and start focusing on your relationship with God. Turning to Jesus, saying yes to Jesus, following Jesus, asking God to help you follow Jesus because we can't do it on our own. Focus on your relationship with Jesus, on how God has saved you. And as a repercussion of that, you will start to make a difference. Because I promise you, when we focus on Christ and Christ alone, then and only then can we counter the troll within and out there. Let's pray. Father God, thank you this morning for this moment together as a church family and a community. And Father, I just thank you for the incredible hope we have in your Son. The power that you give us to overcome these problems, this nature of being a troll. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you that we can have a relationship with you, a real relationship where you change us and you impact us and you help us. So I pray for each person here this morning, whatever they go to this week, Father, I just pray that you help them live differently, that you empower them to be instruments of change this morning. And Father, I pray if there's anyone here who has not given their life to you, I pray that they don't wait one more day, but they give it to you. Pray that you work on them right now this morning, Father, that you bring them to you, Father. I just pray that all of us can focus on you more than anything else. Thank you for this church. I thank you that there's a group of people here, that this community wants to live differently and counter this troll culture, Father. And I just pray that you help us, change us, form us to be a church that doesn't just exist, but counters the troll culture around us and overcomes the inner troll within us. I pray this in your son's name. Amen.